Israel and Turkey's Zero-Sum Strategic Visions for Syria by Dan Arbel. A recent Israel-Syria scuffle over an airbase near Aleppo has laid bare Israeli and Turkish tensions and mismatched visions of Syria's role in the region, and has caught the U.S. in the middle. The flare-up stems from Israeli airstrikes on Abu al-Duhur airbase in Syria's Idlib province, with Israel claiming that Turkey was planning to deploy troops there in violation of a Syrian-Israeli agreement to maintain a security status quo. Turkey and Syria have firmly denied any deployment plan and denounced Israeli action. But the sharpest rebuke came from Washington. U.S. envoy for Syria and Iraq and ambassador to Turkey. Tom Barrack called the strikes an unnecessary escalation. The incident is intensifying regional competition between Israel and Turkey, straining key U.S. relationships and potentially endangering Syria's post-war redevelopment, a site of significant international investment and the centerpiece of multiple pipeline plans as the region pivots from maritime oil transits. Israel's calculus. Israel's posture is no longer about testing an uncertain new Syrian government. A year and a half after the fall of the Assad regime, Jerusalem is seeking to enforce an increasingly explicit set of red lines against a government that it fears could become a major Islamist power on its borders. Syria and Israel have been negotiating a security agreement since shortly after the fall of the Assad government. Israeli officials say almost everything was agreed on paper, including security zone arrangements in southern Syria and a UN-monitored buffer area. But Damascus doubted Israel's willingness to implement the deal. Those talks resumed and stalled repeatedly through the summer, with Israel's stated red lines now including preventing Turkish military activity anywhere in Syria, keeping the Syrian side of the Golan Heights demilitarized, protecting the Druze community, and blocking the Syrian army from acquiring certain categories of strategic weapons. Despite the strike, Syria's foreign minister said on August 23rd that Damascus expects security negotiations with Israel to resume soon. Israeli officials framed the Abu al-Duhur strike as enforcement of existing understandings, not as a new escalation. Israel's ambassador to Washington, Yehiel Leiter, said the strike followed intelligence that Turkey intended to significantly expand its military presence in Syria, in contravention of an understanding that Damascus and Jerusalem would maintain a security status quo. Critics inside Syria and the region dispute that any such formal agreement exists at all, arguing no public accord grants Israel the right to object to an Idlib airport's operation or to the presence of Turkish experts there, and that Israel is using the status quo framing to steadily expand what counts as a red line. This Israeli posture is also shaped by a hardening domestic threat assessment. A 2025 Israeli government commission warned of a Turkish drive toward what it characterized as an Islamist-oriented regional order with neo-Ottoman ambitions, and cautioned Israel to prepare for possible direct confrontation with Ankara and Turkish-aligned Syrian forces. Some elements fear that Israel could eventually face Turkish forces on the Golan Heights and naval assets off its own coast. Electoral politics are also at play. Netanyahu is trailing in public opinion polls and may believe that a confrontation with Erdogan will help improve his standing. Turkey's position. Turkey today is operating from a position of expanding regional partnerships rather than the more tentative footing it held immediately after Assad's fall. Earlier this month, Ankara signed a mutual defense pact with Saudi Arabia and Pakistan, the Mecca framework, which Israeli commentary has read as evidence that Turkey is building a broader coalition to backstop its position in Syria and constrain Israeli freedom of action. Turkish officials have also made clear that a long-term Turkish footprint in Syria is not negotiable. For Turkey, continued training, infrastructure, and eventual basing arrangements are the mechanism by which it converts its political alliance with al-Sharaa into durable strategic depth. This makes any Israeli move to block specific installations like Abu al-Duhur a direct challenge to that project rather than an isolated incident. Ankara has cast Israel's strikes as politically motivated, denying any change in its own posture in Syria while portraying Israel as the destabilizing actor. Syria's interests. Damascus's position has evolved from the fragile, transitional posture of early 2025 into a more confident but still precarious balancing act between two neighbors whose rivalry it can no longer avoid. Al-Sharaa's government has spent the intervening year consolidating its own institutions while deepening overt security cooperation with Turkey and simultaneously advancing secretive negotiations with Israel. The airbase episode has forced Damascus into an uncomfortable public position, pushing back on Israeli operations while trying not to alienate Turkey or further inflame Israeli anxieties. Syrian officials insisted no Turkish base was planned at Abu al-Duhur and separately condemned the strikes outright as a violation of Syrian sovereignty. At the same time, Damascus has continued signaling its preference to keep the Israel Channel open. Syria's underlying interest has not changed since the period after Assad's fall, avoiding becoming the arena in which Ankara and Jerusalem settle their broader rivalry. That task has become more difficult to sustain now that Syria has real assets both patrons care about. The rebuilding of Syria's conventional military, control over strategic air bases near the Turkish border, and a functioning, internationally recognized government have made the country an active participant in Israeli-Turkish competition, not just the backdrop. The U.S. policy approach. Washington's posture has shifted from quiet mediation to open frustration with Israeli unilateralism. The Trump administration, through its envoy Barak, has pushed for a formal deconfliction mechanism among Israel, Turkey, and Syria, building on an existing but limited information-sharing arrangement. Barak's condemnation of Israeli strikes has itself become a source of friction within Trump's orbit, not just between Washington and Jerusalem. Barak said the administration was deeply concerned and called the strike an unnecessary escalation, phrasing that drew immediate pushback from Israeli officials and some of the president's own allies. Barak also hinted the strike was carried out for political purposes, a suggestion Israeli officials rejected outright. The dispute escalated when, in the same round of remarks, Barak said Israel's occupation of the Golan Heights continues despite UN resolutions and international law, a position that put him at odds with Trump's own 2019 recognition of Israeli sovereignty over the territory. Israeli Foreign Minister Gideon Sa'ar criticized the comments as full of inaccuracies, while conservative activists in the U.S. called on Barak to resign. While Barak quickly attempted to temper his message, the episode illustrates Washington's difficulties reconciling its Syria policy and growing partnership with Turkey with historical commitments to Israel. Notably, Trump himself has not personally weighed in on the Abu al-Duhur dispute, leaving Barak to absorb criticism from Israel-aligned voices without an explicit public backing from the president. Apparently, the rift over Abu al-Duhur is playing out as much inside the administration's own coalition as between the U.S. and Israel. Additionally, U.S. intelligence appears to have diverged from Israel's justification for the strike. Barak said that an American intelligence review found no basis for the Israeli claim of Turkish troop movements. That gap has fueled skepticism, with some commentary arguing that a deconfliction mechanism can only work if all sides genuinely want de-escalation, and there is no evidence Israel sought it in this case. Analysts have drawn comparisons to the Israel-Russia deconfliction channel established in 2015 during Russia's Syria intervention, although the analogy is imperfect. Outlook for the region. The Abu al-Duhur episode illustrates a structural rather than episodic problem. Israel's expansive freedom of action doctrine in Syria is on a collision course with Turkey's ambition to be the dominant external patron of the new Syrian state. U.S. mediation has so far prevented a direct Israeli-Turkish confrontation, but Washington's rebuke of an ally strike, paired with its own intelligence contradicting Israel's stated rationale, signals growing strain in coordinating two partners whose interests in Syria are increasingly zero-sum. Absent a more binding arrangement than technical deconfliction, further incidents at contested sites near the Turkish-Syrian frontier appear likely. Growing tensions in the Syrian theater could have significant impacts for the region's economy and international business. In the year following the fall of the Assad regime, $56 billion in foreign direct investment, largely from the Arab Gulf, flowed into Syria, largely focused on large-scale industrial redevelopment projects. In recent months, Syria's central geography has made it the centerpiece of several new or revived oil pipeline plans as regional producers seek to reduce reliance on the troubled Strait of Hormuz. These plans hinge entirely on Syrian stability, which the Sharia government would struggle to maintain in the face of expanding Israeli operations or without significant Turkish support. More broadly, resurgent conflict in Syria would add to a long list of hotspots in the Middle East, stretching the attention of the U.S. and its partners and likely providing new staging grounds for Iran and its proxies.